yourself high five.
Welcome to Beerfield. I am your host, Beerfield Hop. As always, joined by Beerfield Theory. You're enjoying our latest rendition of will we get copyright claim for the old WCW themes? And we might for this one, as they got sued. Diamond Dallas Page, clearly a little bit of a Nirvana ripoff. The whole reason we started this segment, though, was to see how good Jimmy Hart really was at changing one note and not getting his ass sued. We got an episode for you today that we didn't plan at all. So, have not planned this out in the least bit, so it should be good. I'm going to hope this PC doesn't overheat in the middle of it, because it is overheating on me again. For those that are long-time listeners, it's done this two or three other times. Last time we had to take it off, clean it out again. Think it needs some need to get some new thermal paste on that processor. Probably just need to build a new PC if there's a little bit of a chip shortage everywhere.
Dumb chips.
I don't mean Doritos.
That is true. That is true. I was not expecting
The enthusiasm is infectious. The enthusiasm is straight fucking contagious. I'll tell you.
Boom. Hey, it's training camp season.
It is indeed. It's also beer season. It's also fantasy football expo season.
It is.
We'll be there. We got some cool things planned for you if you're coming through Canton, Ohio. August
15th?
A week after Dan's bachelor party.
Yeah, it is the 15th.
Okay. August 15th.
We'll be there.
We'll be there. Might have some potentially live episodes with a lot more energy than this one started off with. We're going to have...
Well, I'm just letting you mourn because of...
Oh, well, we're going to get there. Don't worry. We'll get there.
I got it in the news. I actually created...
Oh, you made a show
segment
sheet?
Skip. Yeah, just a news sheet.
Oh, I didn't know. I was just going to read Roto World.
Well, I mean, I figured that, but there's some also non-football news outside of the MLB deadline. And
oh, a couple other things
we
need
to talk
about.
Even give an Olympic take or two.
Oh, sweet. Okay, well.
Let's talk about Simone Biles and...
And the importance of mental health?
Her bullshit backlash that she's getting.
I've seen some. Before that, we need a drink. But hey, one more note on the expo, by the way. We'll probably be doing some panels. We're going to have a booth set up. We're going to have some one-pagers for you with some advice on them. Have some shot glasses to give away. Some stickers to hand out. And I think we're going to crowdsource a beer while we're there. So try to at least get some input from people that come by the booth on what they like, what they don't like. Compile it all together and see what we can homebrew and make that an episode topic. So we're going to throw something like that together for you. But before we do, we got our own beer.
We do.
What's fueling Beerfield?
Dan?
I am drinking Untitled Arts Black and Blue Chocolate Chip Pancake Stout. This is an Imperial Stout with blackberries and blueberry puree, cocoa nibs, maple syrup, and milk sugar. It clocks in at 9% Untitled Arts. For those of you who are not familiar, based out of Wisconsin, they are also very known for the many, many collaborations.
What was
the
title of that again?
It's just called Black and Blue Chocolate Chip Pancake Stout.
Okay, so that's where the blueberries comes in. Then it's the blue part of Black and Blue. I was curious because the chocolate chip pancake stout with blueberries. I don't know about you. I don't usually have blueberries on my chocolate chip pancakes.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah.
We're a breakfast food show now.
We are. Well, I mean, we've always been a breakfast.
That's true.
Food show. We have tremendous takes when it comes to our favorite breakfast foods.
All right. I'm drinking Urban Chestnuts Hallertau Haze. It's a German hopped hazy. single hop, Hallertau hops. So, little newer from them. Those that don't know, couple breweries I have a hard on for. Urban Chestnut is one of them. So
he does. He's always 6 to midnight when Urban Chestnut's in the vicinity. We're gonna be serving their beer at the Down Home Festival.
Oh, you're serving for UCBC?
No, because the rep that's or the wholesaler that carries my product also carries Urban Chestnut. So they're gonna be getting pours.
Nice.
Out of their truck, which is also serving distill.
I will not be there. I considered it, but I've actually got you remember Joe. We're coming down here. We're going to golf a little bit.
Nice.
Sit with the kid a little bit on Saturday so Lindsay can go out and have some alone time. So,
aww.
Me and Kai are going to hang out, and yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right. You got some news? Let's do some news. Oh, Urban Chestnut out of St. Louis, Missouri, by the way.
News.
News. We got injury news we got to catch up on. 2 days before we were supposed to record last week, Cam Akers tears his Achilles. He's out for the 2021 season. Obviously, torn Achilles tends to be a bit of a death sentence for running backs, though we've seen Deonta Foreman make his comeback. Marlon Mack.
We're about to see how Marlon Mack does.
We'll see how Marlon Mack does. This is what a lot of people are kind of hating their thoughts on in what they're supposed to do with Akers beyond this season. It's kind of what we see from Mack. We've seen some insane recoveries. There's that Russian gymnast who recovered after 3 months.
Well, Russia. Who knows what the hell they're doing over there?
fucking insane. So, you know, before we jump into his fantasy outlook, I do want to give a quick note. Never victory lap. A player getting hurt.
I don't like Cam Akers.
About 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm not. This is nowhere near towards you. This is actually towards Kyle Yates from the Fantasy Pros. I'll just say its name. He posted a clip of him touting Daryl Henderson like 4 minutes after this news broke out and just got completely dragged.
So I'm gonna play devil's advocate here a little bit, which is, were you celebrating the injury or were you touting the idea that you had a good, because I've podcasted with Kyle Yates before and whatever, and he doesn't seem to me like a guy that's just outwardly going to tout an injury, or were you touting the fact that you had a take on a handcuff and you were putting that out into the universe to let people know where to go that may have been in the middle of a dynasty startup, for example, and drafted Cam Akers? Because, I mean, I could see how that could be construed as bragging, but at the same time, if you're giving a take on a handcuff and there's an injury and you're an industry person, your obligation is to kind of direct people where to go after the injury, and that is Daryl Henderson.
So
I didn't see the tweet.
As much time as I spent looking when it happened, he was the only one that decided to say something. You're not wrong in that we are here providing a service to make sure that.
Well, some people are. I don't know that we do a good job.
We don't do a great job. Some people are. But there's people that get paid to do it, you know, and they do it pretty well. It was more or less, it was done in poor taste. I mean, he starts off the tweet by saying, you know, how bad he feels for Akers, which, like, to me, read like, I don't mean to be I don't mean to come off as a dick, but I don't, you know, mean that you're the worst person, but it came off like, okay.
I'm going to go find it now.
I'm glad that he took it down, I believe. Like, he got tremendous amount of backlash. And then in that same hour, I think he posted cheering that he traded out for Daryl Henderson in the startup after this happened. It wasn't so much that he, you know, cheered or victory lapped Akers getting hurt. It was he decided to kind of tout himself on a take that he had about his backup. It's something that it's more done and tactful. It just wasn't. It was just a wrong time to do it. And there were a lot of people that came in his defense for the same way that you just pointed out.
I know.
But he was the only person.
He responded to one of them. I tweeted.
Yeah. And he was the only person that actually, at least within the paid industry, that actually said something. Like, I guess it was, I don't know. It came off as just the wrong, like you can tell he didn't mean it on purpose, obviously. It was just not done in the right. It just wasn't tasteful. That's all. And then also, more so to the mental health, you know, Cam Akers. This man just completely busted his ass, got to the highest part of his, you know, of his job, of his field, and one event may have taken that away from him. So I hope for all of his sake that he has a good set of people around him that he can stay in good spirits, he can battle back, regardless of how you feel about Akers and his, you know, his actual fantasy outlook. I hope the man can recover and at least try to make something of his career and not watch it go down the wayside because of an injury.
Yeah. So having podcast with Kyle before, and I can't find the original tweet, but I see where he responded to somebody defending him in the same way that I was.
Yeah.
Which was basically like, look, it's literally my, cause he is paid by Fantasy Pros. It's literally my job to give takes on news as it happens. So, you know, I can't see the original tweet. Twitter is great at being offended. So I'm going to go ahead.
They do a great job.
They do. So I'm going to go ahead, and we're all great at being offended these days. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm kind of going to take the benefit of that approach to where, like, if you're an analyst, it's your job to give a take. And it's your job to tell people where to pivot. And it's also your job to set people up for handcuffs in the event that something like this happens. And that's what we try to do with, you know, especially a situation where you're perceiving that Cam Akers is the bell cow. This is the handcuff. We do it with Alexander Mattison if something were to happen with Dalvin Cook, who's another premium, you know, higher tier handcuff.
Yep.
You know, CMC really doesn't have one of those, but we do it with Latavius Murray for Alvin Kamara. You know, there's...
Here, I found the... So his original tweet was a clip of his show saying to pick up Henderson in case something were to happen. It was done directly after. Like I said, it's not the tweet itself, it's the timing of it, right? Like,
I don't even think the timing is that big of a deal when you're working for Fantasy Pros and your job is to tell people where to go and what to do, and this is your advice. Like, are you supposed to cry over a player's torn ACL or Achilles? I mean,
well, it's not, like I said, it's not about, it's about touting yourself of, hey, this guy got hurt. Hey, look at me.
But it wasn't like
I'm propping up his backup.
But again, it wasn't,
it's based on attack though.
But it wasn't like I came out and said, I've been saying for weeks Cam Akers is going to be bad and he hurt himself. I was right, because that's when it's a shitty take. Not this guy got hurt and now I'm going to post a video propping up his backup, who's absolutely who you should pivot to, and I'm an analyst that's gonna analyze it. You know, it's shitty to me when people do what, so this is why I didn't tweet anything, because I wrote a tweet, and that's why I said, I think I tweeted something. I wrote a tweet, okay. And I opted not to send it. I wrote a tweet, and I opted not to send it because of how critical I had been of Akers, and I knew that if anyone listens to the show, one of the 30 people sees that tweet, that it looks bad because I'm critical. Even if it's just me saying, yep, Akers is hurt, you should probably go get Daryl Henderson. Because I've been critical of Akers in the past, that's going to look bad for me. So I didn't do it.
I mean,
because I'm going to get drug.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't, like I said, it's not so much of him saying, you know, go out and get, you know, the backup, the starter just got hurt. I don't know. It's just, it's how the tweet read to me. It's how his second tweet read. And it basically, he was the only person that I saw on Twitter. And you know how much.
Well, next time I'll be sure to White Sox this thing and we can treat it like the guy died and put out a tribute video with all two of Cam Akers' highlights and see where it goes from there. Look, mental health perspective, football players deal with it. Look, it sucks to get hurt. You're on the verge. You're a running back. You don't get very many contracts. You don't get very many chances. And it sucks. Daryl Henderson's a premium tier backup. There it is. Drag me. Go ahead.
It's been 9 days.
Well, it's only because we didn't record minutes. 2 days afterwards. And it's only because I deleted that tweet, right? I mean, I thought it. But again, it's also knowing and understanding.
I don't think you would have been dragged.
It's, well, that's only because I don't have the following that Kyle Yates has.
True. But
if I had immediately after it happened, if we had the listeners at Fantasy Pros does and the followers at Fantasy Pros does that listen to this show and have heard me rag on Cam Akers for the last year plus, and I put out a tweet propping up Daryl Henderson afterwards, I would get drugged and you know it.
I think, I think if you said, you know, shit, you know, this would happen to Akers, you know, this is, you know, we should probably go see about Daryl Henderson.
And also, I didn't see the original tweet, but if you put out a video of yourself.
I'll send it to you.
And it all depends on the context of the video, too, right? If the context is just talking about Daryl Henderson in a positive light, it's fine. If the context is ragging on Cam Akers and then you're tweeting that out as validation, that's different.
It's him. I believe the video is him of it's him saying Akers has been injury prone or something like that, and then he said, "This is you should go pick up Daryl Henderson."
Okay,
like, it's very much.
I guess if you're saying injury prone, that's. I guess if you're saying injury prone, that's validation. So congratulations. Although tears are, you know, they're not. Necessarily easy to predict. Strains and sprains are where you get injury prone, and repeated hamstring injuries like Will Fuller and soft tissue issues and that type of stuff is where you get injury prone, not breaks and tears.
Yeah. So, like I said, but let's jump into.
In case you didn't figure it out, Cam Akers got hurt, and Daryl Henderson is his handcuff, and you know Akers is going too high anyway, so it's not a 1-to-1 replacement.
No, he was going at a ceiling. It was like, someone who loves Cam Akers. He was going too
high. Was going at a ceiling. So, but, you know, temper back, and Henderson's a fourth or fifth rounder at this point.
We've seen that from which I still think is too high. We've seen enough of these running backs get propped up to their ceiling.
Sure.
What are your dynasty thoughts on? I know you don't like Akers. But what are your dynasty thoughts? I don't say you don't like. I think that's the wrong way to say it. What are your thoughts on Akers?
I don't like the player. I haven't liked the player since I watched his film. I don't know him as a person, but I haven't believed in his ability to be consistently successful. And, you know, let's be very clear. The injury does not move the needle on that for me.
Well, no, it doesn't.
And here's the thing. Modern medicine is amazing. Richard Sherman, much older than Cam Akers, came back from a torn Achilles in a year and was fine. Now, different position, but I don't know that it moves the needle, and I don't know that at this point you treat it any differently than, you know, an ACL. It's a narrative that I was actually thinking about earlier today, and, you know, torn ACLs and torn. I actually saw it because I somehow timed out in garbage times mock draft and ended up with Cooper Kupp, and that took me back to that whole debate.
You're welcome.
ACL injuries, tears, things like that. Oh, no, I was thinking about it because the Blackhawks signed Jake McCabe, who was coming off a major knee injury, and one of the beat writers kept saying, you know, you don't know how he's going to come back from this. You don't know if he's going to be the same player he was before. And it just feels like that's a narrative you hear all the time, and I would love to see stats on this, and I actually considered doing the research on it myself for once.
Well, I know that the Achilles one is, it's the histories. Again, fucking brutal. To running backs, it's brutal.
Give me some examples.
Just, yeah, like it. Well, yeah,
because the most recent, two, Foreman never was when he got hurt. Let's be very clear.
It took him about a year and a half to come back. Then he never be. I mean, he was never going to be.
He would never was going to break out anyway. He was not. He was a dart throw, a guy that we kind of liked, but hadn't broken out when he got hurt, and then struggled to come back from it a bit. Marlon Mack. You know, jury's still out. You know, I mentioned Richard Sherman, who came back from it fine, again, different position. So, you know, who before that, I guess, is a running back that's torn their Achilles? I'm honestly asking. I'm not trying to be a smartass about it. I don't know.
I know. I was trying to find it. I know the biggest hype name was Mikel Ashore, which was, I think, from a few years ago. Which he was a second-round pick. He had a lot of hype, too. Toward, he never came back. But what we do know is that no running back's ever really had a career afterwards. They may hang around, and we may say Marlon Mack do it. From a dynasty's perspective, it's hard to bet. Like, as someone who likes to follow analytics, it's hard to bet against the odds. So when it comes to Akers, as much as I enjoy it, as much as I want to see him come back from a personal, just wanting to see it happen, from a fantasy perspective, he's a very difficult buy.
Here's the problem. LeSean tore his ACL, yes, you're right. And then he was suspended for two games in 2012. And then came back in week three and was the first Lions 100-yard rusher in forever. And then ended up in the CFL after he was released. So the Achilles didn't damn Mikel LeSean. Mikel LeSean came back from the Achilles and then became a name after the Achilles injury and then got released after he was suspended.
Okay.
So
I'm trying to find these.
I just pulled up his Wikipedia because I remember LeSean, but yeah, he tore his Achilles his rookie year and then had the solid season the next year.
Okay.
So anyway, my point is that I think that that's more of a talking head take to fill airtime. And again, I want to go do the research on this. I probably will in my free time, you know, because I have a lot of that. But I probably will just to prove or disprove a point because I'm honestly interested. That's about the one way we do research is we're honestly interested to know. But I really think over the last 5 to 10 years, that's been more of a non-story as to how somebody's going to come back from this. It's a lot of times been more so when, not how good are they going to be once they do.
And it's so rare. Like, we hear, what, maybe one or two a year, maybe? I mean, Mac, he injured his week one. He's back. He said he's 100% ready to go.
Right. And we'll see, because that's going to be the newest one, right? So
yeah.
Next year, you'll know what you have.
God damn, I wish I could find that fucking... Someone had a list of the players who got it and then what their career was afterwards.
Right. And it just, I mean, but like LeSean, right? I mean, you just kind of have to take some context into there. He tore his ACL in 2011. 2012, he came back, had 215 rushes for 800 yards, 9 touchdowns, but it was only 3.7 a game or a carry. 49 targets, 34 receiving yards, 214. Bad Lions team. Had about 1,000 scrimmage yards the year after the injury.
It's good. That's a good sign to what, you know, I won't say realistic, but what a realistic outcome could look like for Akers, you know, post injury.
Mm-hmm.
You just hope that, like I said, I just hope from the mental aspect that he could bounce back because I know it's
sure.
And it's been a lot of that going on too. And just, I think that's what also pissed off a lot of people is we oftentimes forget that these players are people or are actually human beings and not props of our entertainment. I think that's,
reason you don't celebrate injuries. Another human being just got hurt. Yeah. And that's why you don't victory lap injuries. You know, I might nod at it. If we're telling you to like shy away from somebody like we've done Will Fuller in the past because they can't stay on the field and then they miss 8 games, you don't want to celebrate that injury, but that's having a track record and a little bit of validation, but you don't, you know, celebrate an ACL tear, Achilles tear, or something like that. You know,
your prep work is
your prep work should take injuries into account.
Exactly. And that's that.
And it's fine to have that validated, but it's not one of those times when you gloat about having that validated.
Yeah. So let's switch to the actual person who stands to see the biggest potential gain from this, and Daryl Henderson.
Yeah.
So it's been 9 days since the injury. Rams have done absolutely nothing. There's been very little rumors. It's Xavier Jones, Jake Funk, and then a handful of other guys behind them. Jake Funk, I think, was a 6th-round pick this year.
I actually have analysis on Jake Funk. Hold on.
And then Xavier Jones was an undrafted free agent.
So Jake Funk was highly athletic. He's a guy that came out a little bit. He's a 6th-round pick, and he came out old, which is part of why he's a 6th-round pick.
Yeah.
But he was, if you look at his player profiler page, you'll see it. But he was.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Okay, I'm gonna pull up the notes I actually had on him because I did watch Jake Funk tape.
He looks like a person we would totally watch tape on.
It was after the combine, and I saw the athletic profile. Honestly,
it's not bad. It's yeah.
It profiled well good for spark. The running back position. Yep. And you know, for Funk, what I saw is he's 5'10", 204, so he's got good. I mean, pretty much what is prototypical back size now. Definitive second year. He had good vision, didn't miss open holes. He was a good blocker, good hands catcher. And he absolutely, that spark score translated to film. He had good burst. Not overly strong, does have some problems running through contact, not fantastic balance, and had a couple knee injuries, which also hurt his production profile a bit in college. So
yeah, it's pretty rough looking.
He's another one that, from a production standpoint, and again, it was injury-based, it wasn't an effectiveness, had some problems. Daryl Henderson, on the other hand, also very good athletic profile. Comps to Maurice Jones-Drew, 5.1 yards per touch is pretty solid. Breakaway run rate was in the top 25. You know, he's not a guy that really showed out from an efficiency standpoint. Could be good. You know, Jake Funk, if you're in a 40-round dynasty league, might be worth picking up.
I think both of them got taken in that draft.
But drafts. Already?
I think.
Well, if not, you pick before me, though, damn it.
I'm not going to take him.
Daryl Henderson is the guy that you're going after. I mean, he showed that he could do it in limited duty last year. He's got a very good athletic profile, and he's going to get a chance. I would be surprised if the Rams don't bring in another veteran. Maybe they just don't like what's out there now, and it's something that they do when camp cuts roll around. But I think that they do need a veteran presence. Maybe it's Frank Gore. Who knows? But right now, Henderson's the guy. And, you know, fifth round's probably about the ceiling of where you want to get him. Maybe fourth, depending on how backs fall. But
I wouldn't even spend a sixth rounder. I don't dislike Henderson. I just don't see. It's hard enough for me to see.
You actually liked Henderson quite a bit.
I know. I did, yeah. And then he got, you know, into the NFL. I think was immediately replaced by someone you hate. So dynasty outlook be damned, who knows, but his redraft this year, he's going to get overdrafted. And I do think they bring somebody in. I wouldn't be shocked if they go out there and trade for somebody. This is a playoff bound, potentially super bound team. One of the best defenses in football, fantastic looking offense. That's not young. So they have to take their shots now with draft picks that they don't have. I wouldn't be shocked if they're the ones out there trying to trade for like a James Robinson. Maybe they, you know, if they try to trade for and be aggressive with some of these backups. I just don't see Henderson as being a guy who's getting 60%+ snaps. He has yet to do it in the NFL.
They're not going to break training camp with just him and Jake Funk.
God, no. Or with Jones or the guys that they have. No, they'll bring somebody in. Malcolm Brown is with the Dolphins. I wouldn't be shocked if he gets cut and then the Rams bring him back because he's familiar with the offense. I don't believe in Todd Gurley or Le'Veon Bell because they've shown absolutely nothing the last year or two.
And a Gurley reunion was kind of my initial thought, but it fits kind of that veteran mold that I think you do bring in, that I wouldn't be surprised to see the Rams do, a Le'Veon Bell, a Todd Gurley. I mentioned Frank Gore kind of tongue-in-cheek, but just
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, exactly. An older back that can eat some carries and is still looking to show that they've got a spark to complement the fact that you do have Henderson, who's hyper-athletic, but probably isn't going to be a workhorse. And, you know, we'll see what they have in Jake Funk.
I mean, yeah, it's I like for them to see what they can, you know, do beyond just the vets. And I think that may, you know, tip their hand into how they feel about Akers long-term. If they decide to go out there and spend any sort of significant capital.
Well, they're running backs. You're not going to. I would be very surprised if you see significant capital to change hands for a running back. Draft pick, sure. But if it's anything higher than a fourth rounder,
it's bad.
I would be shocked.
But I think this is a team that would take their fourth rounder and be like, hey, Jacksonville, you know, give us James Robinson.
Right. Or, you know, you've got three decent backs in Tampa Bay that could probably be had for draft capital.
And they may get aggressive and try to, you know, go after a potential cut casualty like Leonard Fournette.
And say, well, hey, and
we'll give you a fifth rounder for him.
That's more what I'm expecting, is that you'll wait for the cut casualties.
Yeah.
But there are some guys, you know, Damian Williams, if he doesn't make the Bears,
yeah,
would be a guy that I could see the Rams going out and targeting.
And I still think Henderson's going to end up being overdrafted. I don't think any running back in this backfield outside of injury, obviously, we'll see a significant amount of snaps. Do I think Henderson will lead the backfield in touches? Yes. Do I think going to be enough to warrant a fourth or fifth pick? No.
New England could potentially get it out of Sonny Michel if they wanted to.
Oh God, I may actually want
for some draft capital, which might actually work out okay.
That happens.
you know, maybe it wouldn't be the best thing for Sonny either. You've got multiple backs in Philadelphia, like maybe a Jordan Howard is a cut casualty and could end up there.
Kerryon Johnson.
That
they just brought back in. I mean, I don't see them carrying Sanders, Johnson,
or
Howard.
If they don't like what they see in camp, maybe this is a team where after a couple of years that evaluates the character of a guy like Darius Geis. That,
I mean, maybe he gets his call. He's got
is still floating
everything
around.
Everything from
there.
got settled out of court.
So right. So maybe it's a Darius Geis. Maybe it's a guy like Royce Freeman getting sprung from Denver.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of options on the running back side of this.
I think
the Rams are going to have somebody else.
I still say wait and see. If you're in Dynasty, do not trade him for first.
No, and
it'd be smart to wait for Henderson. It'd be smart for Henderson is to wait and pay a little bit extra in season.
Trade him for a first. Do not trade a first for him.
Exactly. I have him in one league. I'm trying to, you know, these league mates are smart. They know why would I give up significant capital for running back. If anything, we'll have 1 year of potential production, and that's still a big what if.
Yeah, my prediction is there is somebody not on that roster right now that will end up being at least flex relevant that is going to create some excitement when he lands there before they break training camp.
And Henderson also has to stay healthy,
which
he's
not a guarantee.
He's missed one game so far, and that was him having his high ankle sprain in week 16 last year. So speaking of ankle injuries and then surgery afterwards, Michael Thomas opts to get his surgery on his ankle. is slated to miss 12 to 16 weeks, so which, you know, puts him, what, October, November in that timeline. So half the season's gone for fantasy. Would you draft Michael Thomas in redraft this year?
Not at where he's probably going to go because of the name cachet alone. I mean,
where would you feel comfortable taking him?
Do I remember right that he kind of had a down year last year too?
Yeah, I think I think the whole offense with how Breeze was, I think Thomas missed time too.
If
I remember hearing correctly, he's had multiple surgeries the last 2 years.
Right, now. And there's no guarantee that that's going to clean up the issue. It's tough. I think we've seen this before, where you've got a stud receiver that might not. He was injured. He only played in seven games, five started. There's 40 receptions. So
he was banged up all year.
Yeah, not only was he banged up, but the games he did play, I mean, there was only another three of them that you were relatively happy with. So, I mean, performance was there when he played, but I probably would, but it's not going to be as one of my first two receivers. I might take him in the 6th to 9th round, potentially, given the upside there, if he does come back healthy, is a third receiver. But if I take him, he's not going to be one of my first two.
Yeah, I think wide receiver, a 4 on my roster would be the highest I go. My biggest concern is not even him coming back. It's what the Saints look like when he does come back. The fact that he's gone for over half of the fantasy season is also a bit concerning. At least
the what
fantasy
the Saints look
season.
Like without him. Holy shit, that's not.
It's a bad looking team.
It's going to be a lot of Kamara and Murray.
Yeah, and we like Winston here. Winston has not yet to prove that he can win games. And Sean Payton's infatuation with Taysom Hill is still a real fucking thing. I wouldn't be shocked if the Saints are well below 500 and they opt to not have Thomas play at all. Like, he starts off from the pup list. He comes back halfway through and they say, you know what? We don't need you this year because we're not going to do anything. So why risk re-injury? And then he comes back, you know.
This is a team really that healthy. I think ends up with a veteran wide receiver that might end up cut. I mean, you look at their depth chart, and if you take Michael Thomas out of the equation, it's Tre'Quan Smith, and who the hell knows?
Marquez Callaway, Deontay Harris.
Well,
who's got,
I know
legal troubles.
I know the names: Little Jordan Humphrey, Juwan Johnson. Like,
hey, we like Little Jordan Humphrey.
We do. I know the names, but there's nothing there that you're excited about. It's hard to be excited about Tre'Quan. Because
I still think he stands the most to benefit from it if Jameis Winston plays, right?
He does, but that's why people are so high on Adam Trautman and Tre'Quan Smith. And there's no guarantee. Those are unproven commodities. So, yep.
I mean, I'll take my shot on Trautman for free. Tre'Quan, I'm going to watch his ADP.
Yeah.
See how high it goes. And then we'll see. You know, I've heard some rumors about Tim Patrick, maybe. But I think that's more fan-made rumors. So
they're going to run a lot. If Tim Patrick lands there, absolutely Tim Patrick is the one thing. The only thing Tim Patrick has done when he's been given opportunities is produce. And the guy gets no love.
And he goes and he produces with Locke, which is,
not a very much
a vertical quarterback.
Right.
Who wants to push it the same way with Winston does. So I do like Tre'Quan, and he's the one guy that I would take that shot on. But I'm not taking that shot below rounds 8 or 9.
No, but don't shy away on Latavius Murray here because this team's going to have to run a lot and volume's king. And Kamara's going to have to take a lot in the receiving game as well, which means you could see a lot of two-back sets with Kamara split and Murray actually playing
this is what
the running back position.
That also scares me because we'll end up seeing more Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
And then we have an offense that doesn't want to produce anybody besides Kamara. Do you trust anybody on this offense besides Kamara, though?
Yeah, Latavius
Murray. Is he the only one that you want to actually draft?
No, I'll draft Latavius Murray in the late rounds.
Okay.
I mean, look, they're going to run more, but you're fading Latavius Murray from where you were drafting him last year because there's going to be more volume. Like, you can worry about the efficiency all you want. I think the volume is going to make up for that. So Latavius Murray is actually somebody that I like. In the same vein as Rashad Penny, is a late round, everyone decent's gone, screw it, call your shot type of pickup here, because I think the Saints are going to have to rush a lot. And keep in mind, Murray's a decent receiver, too. You know that from being a Vikings fan. So Murray can absolutely be productive when given the opportunity, and there's going to be more opportunity here.
He's always been productive. I'm just taking a look at his contract to see if there's any chance that he's
a cut
candidate.
I wouldn't think so, given that roster structure. I mean, I'm sure the contract would allow it, but when you're that void of talent, unless they're just saying tank and a bridge year, you know?
Yeah, he's got 1 year left on his deal after this year. Out 2020, or he's a free agent in 2023. I'm just looking to see, you know, if this team is bad, you may see them shift potentially to more youth as they brought in some of the younger backs.
Yeah, but
I don't know if that'll actually happen. But
you can run youth out there, but it doesn't mean they're talented.
Exactly. Well, no, we don't. <So. laughs> But yeah. Anything else? Saints, Michael Thomas.
Nope. I think I'm good on that.
All right. Let's move to two players that finally showed up to training camp. Then Aaron Rodgers returns. He made his presence known yesterday. They're in the process of working out his deal. We don't know the details of it yet. In that same vein, Davante Adams decides to back out of his contract extension talks. He wants to be the highest paid receiver in the NFL, and he will not take a lesser deal if Rodgers does return next year. My question is, what the fuck is going on in Green Bay? And then do you think Rodgers and Adams will be with the team next year?
First off, for Rodgers, it was a lot of peacocking and posturing. And I think we called it early on. There's kind of like this cautious in the back of the hand, what if, but I think we always said that he'll be playing week one.
Yeah.
I think he wants them to know he's serious, but it depends what concessions were made. Adams, on the other hand, look, if he's out to be the highest paid receiver in the NFL, then
he's earned it.
He's earned it. He's absolutely earned that right. I don't think it's going to be with Green Bay. I don't think so.
Either.
I think he'll hit free agency, especially if they're making these concessions to Rodgers, unless part of those concessions was sign Adams. But, you know, that doesn't seem to be Rodgers' MO. He's not Brady.
I don't think Rodgers is there next year. He also had, I believe during his press conference yesterday, he basically stated how pissed off he was that they cut Jake Kumerow. Like he's your boy is still pissed off about it.
He's still pissed off about Jake Kumerow
because he was not consulted on the move. He called them their second best receiver, and they cut him without his knowledge until obviously after the fact. It's him being paid, like he was upset about Jordan Love
because
he wasn't consulted on any of their draft picks. You know, I get where he's coming from. He is the face of that team.
I do too. And it's this weird thing though, dude. You're the QB and not the GM. But
exactly,
you can have your issues with the GM, and there are other star QBs in the league. Peyton was notoriously this, where you are consulted, you want that chemistry to work, and your quarterback's input on the offense is super important. So I get it. If Kumerow was his guy, Kumerow was his guy, and if they had chemistry and we knew Kumerow could be productive when he played, I get it, right? I mean, if he's asking for Jake Kumerow, you don't have to break the bank to keep Jake Kumerow, and you cut him for nothing.
Yeah, it just shows, I think, how disconnected Rodgers is from the front office.
Right.
I think he came back because of the fans. I think he didn't want to retire because of the fans. I think he wanted to go out on his own terms, not to be made look like a bad person.
I think he also probably learned something from the Favre situation and having to watch that and be on the other end of that. And, you know, we know the Packers front office fucked up, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
I think everyone knows.
They did sign Bakhtiari. They should sign Adams if they can and do whatever you can to keep Rodgers happy.
They did trade for Randall Cobb, which I believe is one of his quote-unquote stipulations.
Oh, they brought Randall Cobb back?
So they traded, I think it was a sixth-round pick, and then Houston agreed to pay $3 million of his salary. Like, Houston, like you literally have them in the palm of your hands.
What is Houston doing?
Still, you're like, oh, bro, don't worry.
The best you can get is a sixth-rounder, and we'll pay $3 million.
How fucking stupid. Like, just.
It's not like Houston needed a cap dump.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Oh, so, man. Whatever.
They're so bad. Bill O'Brien's still there? That's what it feels like.
That is totally a Bob move.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Randall Cobb back in Green Bay could be something, though. Sorry, MVS. Because
MVS.
I think Lazard is his, more of his Kumerow replacement.
I think this could hurt Amari Rodgers if he was going to be there. You know, Cobb should be.
Oh, yeah, they're the same role.
Yeah, you know. So, again, I'm not high on the future of Green Bay. So I was never, I mean, as much as I love Amari Rodgers, I was not a fan of that landing spot.
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing.
And the answer isn't Jordan Love. We do know that.
They're like in this perpetual state of. And here's the thing that pisses me off about this. They're not a super team. They're not Tampa. And they're not rebuilding. They're not the Jets. They're not Houston. They're just in this perpetual state of flux, and they're still going to go out there and win 13 games.
It's like they know that their significant other is going to leave them. So they want to, like, you know, piss and moan to keep them there, but do just enough to keep them pissed off at you.
Yeah,
it's like we're gonna call you fat, but we're gonna you know punch the wall when you threaten to leave us.
Right.
It's sad. This thing is
crazy. I mean, I'll be happy just to see the Packers play football and put the drama aside, and then.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens in the offseason. Like, and trade deadline too, right? If they're for some reason bad, like say Rodgers breaks another collarbone or something, and Adams isn't coming back, he's a player you could see flipped.
And oh, God.
He just dagger into Aaron Rodgers. So, just...
Or Rodgers is like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not going to play. And Adams, like, trade me. And then I think they'll still get a first-round pick for him.
Oh, they will. Plus, probably.
Somebody will make that move. The other quarterback makes his return to his team. Deshaun Watson is at training camp. He's not operating with the ones, I don't believe. It sounds like they think he's behind, so he's been playing with the twos and threes. He's also been filling in as a defensive body. Like,
so that's just
Watts is not going to play for Houston. That's been known. Like, he will not play for them this year.
Well, he showed up to camp. So
he showed up to camp because he wants it to look professional. Houston's also asking for up to five draft picks, three of them of which are first round picks.
Yeah, that still has legal issues hanging over his head.
22 cases.
This entire situation is fucked.
And those cases won't be solved until 2022. None of them are going to court until after the season.
Yeah.
So we don't know what's going to happen to Watson this year. Teams don't know what's going to happen to Watson after this year. So it's weird out there in Houston. They ended up trading they keep making these weird moves.
Like the entire situation's fucked, right? I mean, first off, like, let's just break this down here. Watson's in camp. Watson, the player, has played well enough since he came into the league to where even if he's behind, you're not running him with the two and threes. They're doing that to send a message. It's not because he's behind. They're trying to send a message to him. Watson's in camp because he lost all of his damn leverage because he's got 22 cases against him.
Yep.
And yet Houston is trying to play it like, those aren't going to be anything. Give us five picks to trade for him. We still want to hold on to this package. We want five first rounders or three first rounders plus two more picks for him. Watson's pissed off at Houston, but it's kind of like, but when the cases came out, and this is my alternative take on that, was damn, the timing on that was weird. Like, I don't ever want to downplay the seriousness of the accusations, but damn, the timing on that was weird. And now it's exactly played out. The timing on it was weird. And guess what? Now we haven't heard shit about the cases in 3 months.
Yep.
You've got Deshaun Watson at training camp, who's lost all of his leverage. So he's there because he really doesn't have a choice. And Houston's still trying to be, we want all these picks for him now. Nah. That's what this felt like the whole time to me, was this is how this is going to play out. He's going to play for Houston this year if he's not on the exempt list.
No one has any leverage. He should be on the exempt list. Like, he should not play.
But he should have been on the exempt list by the time training camp started.
Exactly. Broncos, Eagles, and Dolphins are among three teams in trade talks. We're obviously not shocked that people are going to call about Watson and see what ludicrous deal they can try to get for him.
And I'm not shocked that those are the rumors, right? I mean, what are the three easiest teams I can pick? Those guys. Yeah. Next rumor you're going to hear is the Jets, because Zach Wilson hasn't signed.
He has signed. Zach Wilson signed his contract today. He got his guaranteed money because he signed within the 15-day grace period, and he signed whatever, verbiage and shit that he was trying to refute.
It's offset language. So, it's the same shit that
offset language
people have held out on forever.
Yeah. Except, rookie quarterback. But anyways, let's talk about Cole Beasley, because he's a beast of shit again. So things that were knock shocked by Cole Beasley.
Do we have
I think
to talk
after
about Cole Beasley.
he again brings up COVID. He's wearing his mask off of his nose, just to try to, I guess, prove a point. I wanted to bring it up because we like to dunk on Cole Beasley now. And he again spewing, false facts and again being a piece of shit. So I wanted to put that in there because why the fuck not?
What else is there to say? I mean, the dude's a COVID denier. They're out there, which is why mask mandates are coming back. Look, there's also you're vaccinated, which is good. I'm vaccinated, which is good. But you know, the vaccine isn't saving you from the virus at this point, and they're using that to leverage the fact, even though the unvaccinated are the more likely to spread it. You know, the fact is that if you give me a vaccine, let's call it body armor, right?
Sure.
You put body armor on me, and you say, using Pfizer's Delta numbers, that this is 60% effective against this. But also, if you get shot, it's probably going to be like a leg wound or an arm wound, and all your vital organs and arteries are protected in that 60%. So you're not likely to die. It's not likely to be that serious, even if you do get shot in the areas this body armor isn't covering. You going to take the body armor while you run through this field of people shooting at you or not? You're going to take the body armor because even though it's only covering 60% of your body, it's reducing your chance of hospitalization, death, and infection by more than that, and transmitting it to people that are unvaccinated. I have a 7-month-old, for example. Yeah, the facts are out there. You're gonna believe what you want to believe, and I'm not here to tell adults what to think or, you know, what they should or shouldn't do. There's right and wrong answers here. But to hop up there and flaunt it, when you know what the NFL is doing, Beasley's a fucking moron. He's been hitting the head too many goddamn times.
Yeah, he just needs to he just needs to hang it up, retire. So let's, before we get into Beerfield Reads Roto World News and mocks the headlines, because we love to do that here. The MLB trade deadline is right around the corner.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow is the final day of it. I'm assuming around 4 p.m. Eastern.
It's 3 p.m. Central. So
I saw a move that made you sad.
I literally cried for a brief moment.
Are you shocked by it, or this?
Yes. And the fact is this, I don't know how many baseball fans we have out there, but there's two ways things go at the baseball trade deadline. And almost every team is categorized into one of these two areas. Most of the time. I mean, there are exceptions, but you're either a buyer or a seller. And if you're a buyer, you're in playoff contention, and you're trading your high-end prospects or prospects from a deep farm system to teams that are sellers. And if you're a seller, what you're doing is you're trying to move expiring contracts so that you get something back for those before they hit free agency. And you're trying to build up your farm system to play for the future. And that's kind of how baseball rebuilds or playoff chases go. There's not draft pick trading in the MLB. It's a lot more prospect trading in the MLB, especially for established veterans. And the fact is that as a Cubs fan in May, after they had that big month, you're looking like, oh, man, we're going to ride this thing out. The core is going to stay intact. They're going to be a playoff team this year. They're in first place in the division. And then the wheels fell off. And now you're in a sell situation. Everybody that's a Cubs fan knew going into this year that sell situation was that you had Bryant, Baez, Rizzo all on expiring contracts, and that if the team ended up selling and was not confident they could extend that player, that they were going to do what they could given the talent level of those players and the lack of depth in their farm system to get something out of them before they walked in the offseason.
Yeah.
Rizzo and the Cubs had broken off contract extension talks before the beginning of the season. And, you know, it was kind of writing on the wall that he may go. Now, there's still that glimmer of hope that says he's a free agent in the offseason and maybe they'll re-sign him, which can happen. But, you know, the fact is this is always going to be tough for not just Cubs fans. There's Nationals fans that are going to saying goodbye to people. Every team has it happen. But for the Cubs, where you've got this core of guys that's coming to the end of their contracts that helped win a World Series, that helped break a 108-year drought, that brought a top three happy moment to your life, you're now watching them walk. I'm conditioned to this a little bit as a Blackhawks fan. They've had to do a lot of it over the last couple of years, or over the last decade or so. But it never gets easy. And you knew that this year was going to be hard. Rizzo's a guy that came in 2012 as the first piece in this rebuild and the first glimmer of this is what Theo's doing to try to put a winner on the field. And he developed in front of our eyes. He went from a prospect to a superstar to an all-star to a World Series champ, multi-time Gold Glover, Silver Slugger winner, and a staple in the Chicago community over those 8 years. And, you know, it sucks because it's the face of a franchise and you know it's coming, but it doesn't make it not sad when you're a fan and when you, you know, when you kind of end up liking a player that's there from, like, that's your first glimmer of hope, and then, you know, he catches the final out of the World Series, and every moment of the last, you know, 9 years is Rizzo, and you think the guy's going to be a Cub for life, but, you know, you're reminded that sports are a business, and don't get too attached, because shit like this happens. So, you know, it's sad, it's not unexpected. It's kind of like losing a grandparent to cancer or something like that. It's expected. You know it's coming.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's not sad, and it doesn't mean it doesn't suck, and it doesn't mean that there's not going to be a wave of emotions from the fact that it was a good trade. It was a good return for a rental player. They got two high-end prospects back out of a deep Yankee farm system for a couple months of a rental. They, you know, Jed did good on that trade. You know, it just sucks because you know that you're at the end of the line. So, for that.
No. Is that the Blanton's? The last pour of one of your Blanton's bottles?
Great deserves. Good. Nah, great deserves something that's sought after and hard to find that, you know. Blanton's gets a lot of hate. I can't say it's great, but it was the closest great bottle I had to a kill. So
that's fair.
Or closest sought-after bottle that I had to a kill that I felt was befitting of the moment. So
it's the sentiment that counts. And speaking of a beloved figure in the sports world, Simone Biles has withdrawn from the Olympics. This happened a couple days ago.
She's not competing in individuals now either.
Nope, she's completely... She did it because of her mental health, and this has been a massive hot topic. And a lot of it's angry white men, which is not shocking at all.
Shocker.
She stated one of the reasons is because she's got what's called the twisties, or as other people may know it as the yips in other sports. Basically, it states that the gymnast loses where they're at in their routine while they're in mid-flip. So it places a lot of potential damage done to the body and career ending. Simone made this choice not because of just her, but because she didn't want to let her team down. Again, a lot of controversy surrounding this, a lot of angry white men, just a lot of angry people in general, you know, said that she quit. Before we jump into the fun part of this, I want to just hear your quick thoughts on her decision.
Good for her. You know, when you go in 2016, is your Simone Biles, and you're expected to be good, but you haven't done it before. So, you know, there's expectations, but when you dominate the way that she did, and you've been as good as she has been for so long, the expectations end up sky high. And then you're on the world stage, right?
Yep.
With the Olympics, and the pressure for that, well, it's something all athletes deal with at some point. For a 24-year-old, which isn't, I mean, it's not young. Old. In Olympic terms, you may look at that and it's like, all right, they might have one more. But, I mean, that's generally young. And, you know, you look at that and it's hard to fathom. And it's hard to fathom dealing with that. So to have the courage to step up and say, you know, I've got the yips. I'm probably going to be hurting my team because I can't perform. And I need to step back and take care of myself. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of self-awareness. And, you know, angry white men can hate on that. It's the same generation that pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Yeah, go fuck yourself. Yeah. Like,
exactly.
It's not an easy thing. So to know that you're going to be under that scrutiny, to know that you're going to have that pressure, and to have the weight of the world on your shoulders and say, nah, I need to take care of me, and be able to back yourself out of that, that's big. That takes courage.
It's moments like these that truly highlights the importance of mental health, the importance of taking care of yourself, and what that can do for you. As you know, the both of us have dealt with mental health issues throughout our lives. I applauded her instantly. I thought it's one of the biggest and most brave moves a young Black woman can take from where she is in her life, and her age. This isn't a young kid decision. This is a very much of an adult decision to see yourself at the highest level, having to say, no, my life is more important than this moment. So shout out to her. Shout out to all the people that have been beside her and all the love that's come through it, even though there's been a lot of hate to it. Before we jump into reading stuff, should we do a beer review?
Yeah.
Beer review.
All right. You had blueberry, chocolate, muffin, pancake, maple syrup, strawberry, lactose stout or something.
Black and blue chocolate chip pancake milk stout. The name pretty much says it all. And the taste and everything itself says it all, from the strong blueberry maple syrup aroma, because obviously maple syrup is a very dominant flavor, to the mouthfeel of it being, you know, medium to heavy, to the actual flavors of getting all the notes from the roasted chocolates to the strong syrup sweetness to the darker fruits that are being used to help bring out more of that rich milk chocolateness. This is solid, very much solid beer. I will have a can for you tomorrow also, if you want
to. Oh, yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. You can. So, I'm probably going to be crying a couple more tears in my beer because Bryant and Baez are probably going to go too. So,
yeah, I unfortunately don't share the same love of baseball the way that you do. So I'm sure that the Twins will do something that'll.
You had Stephon Diggs leave.
That was also tough. I thought about bringing that up, but at least it's helped to know that I like, even through his cryptic tweets and his apparent hatred of how things were going, I still love him and I still have Minneapolis
it's
Miracle. And I don't
also hard to sympathize with football players because of how vocal and diva like they are. Like, it's
yeah,
hard
it
for
is.
Me
it really
to get
is.
The same emotional attachment to football players that you do to baseball players that just go about it and don't have the same type of vocal approach. And even hockey, where there's even less of that.
It's like watching KG. It was like watching KG leave.
There you
it
go.
Like,
that's a better one. Because that was before the NBA was, and before you had the Twitter side of it and everything.
Yeah, it was the first real moment of a big three forming. And I was just as happy to watch him get a ring with Boston as I was sad to see him leave.
You know, there's another one that happened too since the last time we recorded that I feel like I have to give a note to. Duncan Keith got traded as well. So
okay.
I've had two, like, just stalwart Chicago players go over the last couple weeks. Keith is a little bit easier because he was in declining performance, and you know that the Blackhawks are going a different direction, and he got traded to Edmonton to be closer to his family because that's the stage of his career he was in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you watch Rizzo go, and it hurts, and then, you know, but I've dealt with it before.
You'll get through it.
Yeah.
We'll have a beer in their honor tomorrow.
Yeah. Keith, Sharp, Jalmerson, Jaw, Crawford. I mean, the list of the Blackhawks I've had to do it for is just huge. So it
makes you realize just how much it's hard for us to sympathize with football. Like, They have all these great players leave of the sports we love, and it's never
that
football.
Are like longtime players there and didn't bitch their way out of it or anything like that.
I'm so sad to see Peterson leave, but he's a piece of shit. So yeah. I'm okay with this.
They've either done some football. It's like they've either done something to fuck it up. They've bitched their way out, which makes it really hard to sympathize with them, they get retained. So
how do we love this sport so much? Like, it's hard for us to like any of these players. Like, and then you have guys like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and their stages of their career become more
actually
and more
I'm likeable. Sure New I'm sure New England people felt some ways about
well,
Tom
I'm
Brady.
Sure they, I'm sure but... they still hate Brady, but and then like the watch and win rings, I'm sure they're like I talked to one of our sales teams were in last week. One of them is obviously in that New England area, and he's from New England. He lives in Arizona, and he was or something like that. So there's a Patriots fan amidst our sales team, and he still has not forgiven Brady. But the guy won you 6 rings prior. Like, get the fuck over it at this point. And now Brady's like one of the most likable players in football.
All right, so I guess I got 2 things to review. I've got Hallertau Hayes, Hazy IPA, and
your Blands.
Yeah, I will review that. It's good hazy. It's got the same body you'd expect, very full. Creamy, because almost all hazies have oats in them to keep the haze in suspension. Lightly fruity, lightly piney, a little resinous, good bitterness on the back end of it, but also some good tropical fruit notes to it. It's got really, really good balance, and they did a good job of showing what this hop can do. And for those that, if you ever had the chance, not just Hallertau Hayes, but like Forehand Scale of Complexity, for example, or anything you see that's named a smash, I would encourage you, if you're trying to learn about beer, to buy those beers. Because anything that doesn't have 90 hops thrown into it, it's really going to showcase what flavor you should expect out of a single hop whenever you do pick up one of those beers that has, 3, 4, 5 different hop additions done with it. And really reading the hop additions on the side of a beer doesn't tell you much. It might tell you somewhat you're going to get, but unless you know when they were added, you're not going to know exact flavors. Now, dry hop, things like that diverge, but I would just say, if you ever have the chance to pick up Hallertau Hayes, any of the Scale of Complexity series, any, there's different companies that are doing smash beers now, single malt, single hop, highly encourage you to do that, because it's one of my favorite things to do as a home brewer, to understand what a hop is going to do to a beer, and what flavors I can expect. So they're one of my favorite beers to find on the shelf. It's just my little soapbox moment for beers that use a single hop. Now Blanton's. Look, everyone has their own story. Blanton's is largely to believe to be one of the first single barrel bourbons that were out there. Think about the single barrel bourbon. You're gonna get a lot of variance between the bottles. My Blanton's here doesn't taste like my Blanton's that's still sitting up there.
There.
I'm trying to point in backwards on YouTube. Yeah,
I see it.
Yeah, it doesn't taste like my Blanton's that's sitting up there. It doesn't taste like. Isn't going to taste like the Blanton's my friends have, right? It's going to be similar because they're aged in the same warehouse. It's the same mash bill. They're around the same age. But because they're from different barrels, they are going to taste different enough. So that being said, dump date on this one was June 4th of 2018. Rick number 7, they're all 93 proof. The letter on this one, if you're into that, is A. So Blanton's has the toppers that have the letter on them, and you can get a stave to watch them running and everything.
People freak out over them.
Yeah, Blanton's retails technically for $63. You can find it at the distillery, and it's really probably $40 to $45 whiskey in a $30 bottle because the bottle's pretty cool, and they're hand labeled and everything. But, you'll see it go anywhere from if you walk into a store, you may see it priced $200, $250. Don't pay that. Don't pay more than $80. But Anyway, on to the actual bourbon. On the nose, it's got a slight woodiness and oakiness, but it smells like it's going to be light. And there's a certain thing that I get out of a lot of Buffalo Trace, especially when I taste them blind, that are just nice fruity notes that come out of it, like tropical, like real juicy, like bright fruity notes that come out of different Buffalo Trace bourbons, particularly the Blanton's Mashbill. I've gotten it out of Elmer T. Lee in blinds. Eagle Rare has a cherry note to it sometimes, which is reminiscent of it. It's almost always a telltale sign to me that I'm drinking something from Buffalo Trace, just like cornbread is for Jim Beam, just like, you know, a heavy oak and sweetness is for Heaven Hill. So, and a nuttiness. So, on the mouth, this one's oily, so it's not heavy. It's very oak forward. Lighter oak, though. It's not like deep charred or anything like that. It's more of a, just kind of a bright tannic oak, followed up by a lot of those fruity notes. There is a hint of vanilla coming through the back end, but it's almost like kiwi, maybe. So this one's got some nice fruity notes to it, and it does end with a nice little bit of warmth. So Kentucky hug. It's not overly complex, which is kind of why you say it's $40 bourbon in a $30 bottle. It's not overly complex, but it does just have some very, very nice oak and fruited notes to it. So Blanton's is good, and like I said, it's highly allocated, so fitting of the occasion.
I think it gets more hate than it probably should.
It gets more hate because it gets more hype, and it's like,
yeah.
Let me put it this way. If the fantasy football version of I don't hate players, I hate ADP, the bourbon version is I don't hate bourbons, I hate secondary pricing.
Ah, yes.
Or I don't hate bourbons, I hate the people that buy it. So,
I hate what it did to someone who works for a you know, pretty huge, you know, liquor store chain. The bourbon people especially are, you know, the bourbon snobs are really what makes me despise.
Well, and it does, because and there's one thing for posting, hey, I found this here, I found a good deal here, and it's great for business.
Oh yeah.
But you're gonna have people running in to buy it all up, and you know, I hate the people that play the secondary market, because those are the people buying it up. Those are the people taking it off the shelves from people to be able to buy. Those are the people jacking the prices, and those are the people making these stores and these mom and pops feel like they have to jack the prices as well. Because if Joe Blow can go buy a bottle of Blanton's for $63 and flip it for $175, why shouldn't the store just sell it for $175 and take those profits themselves?
Yeah.
So,
and then you see people do it. You see these stores try to go up, be a little closer to secondary. The thing is, and
then
sure you know
they
this,
get hate on them.
And then they get hate, but people will buy it and then try to resell it for more price. And then if it keeps happening, it'll just keep going up in price. It's like anywhere else. When there's a demand of a short product, you're going to keep seeing that demand rise and the cost of it rise with it.
It's the same thing. It's I don't hate players, I hate ADP. I don't hate bourbons, I hate the demand around some of it, you know?
Yeah.
There's I could blind taste you right now. Let me look back here real quick. I could blind taste you right now. Blanton's against probably the McKenna Green Label that's sitting up there. Some of the High West finish stuff, and a Woodinville Port, which is a $35, $50 bottle. And Blanton's is probably going to come in second or third in that blind.
Hmm.
So.
Not surprised.
Yeah, it's just a thing. You really want to find out what you think about a bourbon, taste it blind. With four other things. It'll really tell you what you think. So I figured out I like Old Forester.
Yeah. I don't know. I just had 1910 on the rocks one day, or not on the rocks, neat, at a bar one day, and I realized how much I enjoyed it.
1910's delicious, but I mean, I'm talking 1910, 1920 Statesman,
yeah,
black label barrel pick that I had. They would just always perform well in blinds. That's how I knew I liked them. I'll digress.
Can you turn me on the Old Elk, too?
Old Elk's another one. I could put that in a blind. And, yeah.
It's a bit pricey, but it's still delicious.
Like $70, but
yeah,
that's good. All right.
Let's read shit.
Let's read shit. Donovan Peoples-Jones could take a big leap this year.
Well, yay,
probably not with Landry and Odell back. Yeah, if he takes a leap, it'll be over a defender for the 1 week he performs.
Boom! Roasted.
Juju Smith-Schuster, limited to no outside work for him. That's expected.
As he has been pounding the table and was told he'll see more outside work. Juju cannot wait to leave Pittsburgh next year and get that money. Only reason why he went back.
Most are practicing in a knee brace. Doesn't plan to wear it during games, just for training camp.
Yay.
TJ Watt not participating in team drills. He's on the pop. Or he's not on the pop. Jordan Matthews working out for the Jets. Free agent tight end. Jake Butt retiring after 4 years in the NFL.
Greatest Chicago tight end of all time.
Yeah. He was cut, I think. But yeah.
I stand by what I said.
Alfred Morris visiting the Giants. He's still in the league.
I know. I was shocked when I saw that. I was like, okay.
Curtis Samuel has COVID.
There's a lot of people that have it. Him.
There's the reworked Rodgers contract. They voided 2023.
Yeah.
Andy Isabella has COVID.
I feel like this guy should be just wearing a mask.
Terrace Marshall, candidate to replace Curtis Samuel in the slot.
Apparently he's been balling out in training camp so far.
To be expected. Man, you put Terrace Marshall in the slot. Holy hell.
That is such a mismatch.
He's 6'3".
And it's nuts because you can just put DJ Moore there, which should probably be more of a fit.
Yeah.
And you'll just put a 6'3", 201 pound.
Well, because DJ can perform outside. Why not create the mismatch in the slot?
Oh, my God.
That offense.
Sam Darnold, man. You better fucking do something.
If Sam Darnold doesn't produce this year, he's not going to.
And with you and our boy Brad pounding the table and with them putting Marshall in the slot, there's no fucking excuse for Sam Darnold.
Zach Wilson signed his rookie deal. Ron Rivera pretty much confirmed what we all knew. Fitzpatrick and Taylor Heinicke are going to compete.
Oh, God, there was that news. I forgot about that. Not this one specifically, but about Ron Rivera. It was one of his ex-safeties. Basically, because Ron Rivera came out and was like, you know, people should wear masks because of COVID. And, you know, with him getting cancer, he's, you know, he's immune deficient. And then I forgot what his fuck it was. It was TJ something, ex-safety that he used to play it from, basically said, you should shut the fuck up. You know, I'm saying, like, you know, he didn't say fuck, but you should shut up. Like, this is your own problem. Stop telling people what to do. Basically blaming him for getting cancer. Oh. That's for the reason. Like, just...
TJ Jones?
No.
So somebody that doesn't matter. Somebody that doesn't matter. Fucking no one. Got it.
Yes.
Dak Prescott, mild shoulder injury. Should we, like, not glass over the Fitzpatrick Heinicke competition?
No, because Fitzpatrick hasn't played a full season in, like,
true.
5 years.
Heinicke will start at some point. Fitzpatrick will start at some point. That's how that's going to end up going.
It's going to be great.
Adam Humphries has easily been Ryan Fitzpatrick's favorite target during the first week of camp. You know what? They need a two there. I'll allow it.
That's right.
They need a two. Curtis Samuel, though, is on the pup list. So that could all change.
Diami Brown, too. Yeah. He's got some upside as,
as a rookie, but Humphreys is going to get the earlier look there because of veteran status.
Yep.
James Conner and Chase Edmonds will split primary reps to start. Whoever has the hot hand is going to get the ball. I'd expect that to probably be Edmonds more. Just a reminder, though, Edmonds isn't worth the hype he was getting early on. Both guys could be, excuse me, should be considered like they're going to do split work.
With a very mobile quarterback that doesn't like to check the football down as much, it's an offense that that could yield a lot of plays and a lot of production, but or a lot of scoring. But we'll see how the all the backfield shakes up.
And Connor's the bigger of the two backs too. I'd expect this to be something that shakes out a little predictable as far as what their role is.
Yeah, that too.
So remember earlier in the show when I kept using Will Fuller as my injury example?
I knew this because him, Jalen Waddle, and Devonta Parker are all hurt for Miami.
So Will Fuller is dealing with an undisclosed injury. Shocker.
Preston Williams and Parker are still in the pup list.
Calvin Ridley's back. Denzel Mims is working entirely with the second team offense.
Doesn't it? This kind of feels like Dante Pettis-esque.
It does, doesn't it?
It's a wide receiver that saw someone drafted out of him the year afterwards, and he's getting punished for some unknown reason.
New coaching staff. He's playing behind Keelan Cole, Elijah Moore, Braxton Berrios, which we'd expect Corey Davis and Elijah Moore to be on the field. We expected Mims to be that third person, though, and it looks like Cole is going to get a shot and Berrios, I guess.
Moore has also been playing with the twos. I believe Davis and Cole, or who is their number two? It's not Perryman. I want to say Davis and Jamison Crowder have been running with the ones.
Which makes sense because Berrios is strictly a slot guy. So you put him and Moore on the field. Moore's going to have to play outside. Suddenly the Jets have a pretty deep receiving core, though, is what I'm realizing.
Well, of names that we know.
Well,
I don't find it as sexy as maybe you do.
It has the potential to be sexy. I love Corey Davis. I love Corey Davis. I think he is a true one. Jamison Crowder's a proven slot guy, and then you're going to rely on one of the uber-talented Elijah Moore. We all believe in him, Denzel Mims, or, you know, has had some usable weeks, Braxton Berrios, to be the three. I'm for it.
I'll watch to see how this plays out. I mean, I'm intrigued.
I think their receiving core is going to be better than people think.
Which is probably not a lot anyway, so it should be better.
Well, low bar. It means I'm not going to be wrong.
That's exactly.
Damian Harris has an opportunity to really compete for the lead spot. Okay. Well, good that he has an opportunity to really compete. That's the best coach speak I've seen so far. He's got an opportunity to take the lead spot. He's got an opportunity to compete for it. No shit.
Because Sony Michel is really shaking my boots here.
Right. Deontay Harris arrested in early July for driving under the influence.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt's on the pup list already.
Yep. No, they think he'll be back by week one.
Yeah, Dak strained muscle on his throwing shoulder. He'll be okay.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Thomas, we talked about.
Saints coach Sean Payton calling out Michael Thomas in the media, though. Should have undergone his ankle operation earlier instead of waiting until June. That's not actually hard to disagree with, honestly. I hate agreeing with Sean Payton, but I agree with Sean Payton.
Yeah, I think I saw some medical jargon that said that it's not uncommon for people to do this in general, or you know, for an injury like Thomas had to wait on surgery because it could heal on its own, and it looked like it didn't. Obviously, him getting surgery proves that. But
This one's just kind of funny to me because of the way that it's worded. So. Kenyon Drake on the NFI list. Jalen Richard, Theo Riddick on the reserve COVID-19 list. Leaving them thin at running back. It's the first week of training camp, and none of those are long-term injuries, it sounds like. A little early to say they're thin at running back when you have no games for, you know, over a month.
That's right. My favorite run is the Henry Ruggs.
He gained 13 pounds this offseason in an effort to be a more physical player. Okay, good.
I think the quote was, he gained 13 pounds so he can be more physical. Like, it didn't say physical, it just said more physical. And the joke wrote itself. It was great.
Patriots claimed a quarterback whose name I can't pronounce.
Jake.
Yeah, you do it.
Doligala?
Maybe.
Doligala? Maybe.
Xavien Howard trying to force a trade off of a very good Dolphins team. Again, this is why it's hard to feel sympathetic for football players.
It is. He's trying to get ahead of the business side of it. Yes.
See. Dwayne Eskridge on the pup list. Josh Johnson, Sean Mannion working out for the Jets. Which, okay. I mean, they need a veteran presence anyway, so.
That was in lieu to Zach Wilson not signing his contract.
Well, right now their backups are Mike White and somebody else, so they're good at having a backup.
You don't besmirk the great Mike White, the great statue of Mike White.
That's true. Cole Kmet's role is supposed to increase. Duh.
Duh. Shocking.
Devontae Adams, like you said, will not resign at a discount if Aaron Rodgers returns, so he's not giving him a discount, which good. Why should you?
Exactly. Especially at this point in his career. Go get your money. Go and get your paper.
Watson's behind because David Coley, who I forgot was even a person, said Deshaun Watson is behind because he missed offseason workouts and needs as many reps as possible. The Texans are a shit show.
Massive. And it is fucking laughing how bad it is.
Yeah. Kelvin Benjamin released.
Apparently, so there's a photo of him leaving the field, and apparently his release was because he was stealing food.
That was fake.
Was it fake?
Yeah,
okay.
That was 100% proven fake.
Damn it, I wish that was real. That was great.
Let's see. Elijah Moore started training camp working with the Jets' second-team offense. We said that. Herndon working with the second team.
Yeah. Tyler Kroft, I think it's been, the ones?
Yep. Jalen Hurts working with the first team offense, quote, right now. Who else are you get? Nate Sudfeld?
Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco? Like, come on.
And apparently Hurts has been killing it, too.
Good. It should be.
Right? I'm so glad when we're sometimes in agreement with the players.
Lance signed his rookie contract. Parker on the pup list. There's the Randall Cobb news.
Sixth round pick, and he agrees to pay $3 million of his contract.
That's insane.
Oh my god.
Lamar Jackson, COVID.
Yep.
Dante Moncrief release. There's for some reason I link Moncrief and Kelvin Benjamin together. And so them both being released like super quick. So really though, what are the Texans doing? Because they released Moncrief and they released Cobb. So you've got Cooks and what, Kiki Kuti?
God, I thought they just traded for somebody else too. No.
No.
Wait. No. 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 No.
No, they didn't.
That team is going to be.
Team is going to be so bad.
Oh, they're going for Spencer Rattler. That's my guess.
So bad.
So bad.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks, Kiki. Oh, and Anthony Miller. They traded for Anthony Miller.
That's right, Anthony Miller. I think sixth round pick, too.
Which I guess makes Cobb expendable. So that makes sense, actually.
That makes sense.
But still, that's oof.
News
Miller should be the two there.
Both Jalen Reagor and Dallas Goedert both failed their conditioning tests out of Philly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shocker.
Yikes.
Bears signed Justin Hardy. NFI for Za'Darius Smith. Jeff Wilson, active pup, that's expected. Kyle Long, active pup, that's expected. Curtis Samuel, David Bakhtiari, Kyle Van Noy. These are all active pup people, by the way. Trent Brown.
Yeah.
NFL announced there's no restrictions on Deshaun Watson at this time.
Yikes.
Alden Smith is with the Seahawks, although he's apparently in more legal trouble.
I don't know how he's still in the league.
I don't either.
It's like he's the new Greg Hardy.
And
Darius Toney's off the COVID list.
Kevin Colbert says he'd be disappointed if Najee Harris wasn't a three-down back.
I mean, God forbid you spend a first-round pick on a running back. You probably fucking should be.
Right. You should be saying that. Ron Rivera is mad. Blake Bortles cut. Larry Fitzgerald.
But I'm coming back.
Cliff Kingsbury said that the ball's in Larry Fitzgerald's court.
Yeah.
Trey McKitty got a 4-year deal. Standard. Alan Lazard re-signed 1-year, $850,000 contract. I didn't know they had to re-sign him.
I guess so.
Exclusive rights free agent tender. He never signed that, apparently.
Wow.
Huh. Interesting. I didn't know he wasn't under contract.
Zacharias reported for camp. Zacharias, like, bleached his hair.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. There was so many "who is this player?" Ron answers only tweets. It was like 8 of them in a row. It's like, Jesus, guys, let's be a little more creative, please.
Gus Edwards, COVID-19. Kadarius Toney, COVID-19. Nick Bosa, avoiding the pup list. Jalen Hurd, avoiding the pup list.
Shout out to Matt Hicks.
Malik Hooker to the Cardinals. Jimmy Garoppolo, team starter. Duh. For now. It'll be Lance for the end of the season.
It should be.
Cortland Sutton cleared for the beginning of Broncos training camp, but will be managed. Drew Lock, first reps in the quarterback competition.
Not surprised.
So, by the way, this is going to get a lot more exciting as hype starts coming out of training camp. Right now, it's mostly just reporting stuff. 20 weekly carries for David Montgomery is doable.
I saw that.
I hope.
Bears coach Matt Nagy believes 20 weekly carries is, quote-unquote, very doable.
Doesn't mean we're going to do it. It's just doable.
It's just doable. You know, it could be done. And we'll think about it.
Indeed. Preston Williams on the pup.
Yep.
Kali Waring on the roster bubble.
No.
Logan Thomas, 3-year extension. That's actually worth discussing.
It is. He got his money.
It solidifies him as a dynasty tight end and probably
24. 24 mil over 3 years was 10.3 mil guaranteed. Good for him.
He's got to be a top 7 or 8 dynasty tight end now, right?
Probably. I mean, he got money. He's going to be tethered to an offense that's ascending. The only thing that we don't know is who their quarterback of the future is, which is going to probably keep him down a bit. Also, keep watching now for these converted tight ends.
Yeah. Because Waller's making it happen, and now everybody's converting.
Logan Thomas. I mean, Thomas has been doing it for a while, too.
Thomas has been doing it for a while, but
Philadelphia has two of them. They have Hakeem Butler.
And Tyree Jackson.
And Tyree Jackson, who is best comparable on player profiler, is Logan Thomas.
Well, and Tyree Jackson was highly athletic with a giant freaking arm. He just was self-taught how to throw on YouTube. So, I mean, the conversion for him makes sense. And
he's
really
big and athletic.
The conversion for
Hakeem
Butler also makes sense too. So
yeah. Hey, Saints signed Chris Hogan.
Saw that.
That's a name.
They do like deep threats.
They do. Ooh.
Let's see. Rams on back to the Daryl Henderson thing. They believe he's an every down back, but needs to make sure he can stay durable. So that's always good when your coach is saying you're injury prone.
Yeah, it's like, it's shocking. We lose Todd Gurley. We draft Cam Akers to be his replacement. Henderson, I don't think, was ever drafted to be an every down back.
See, Marlon Mack is 100% to start training camp. Frank Reich, however, is not. He's in quarantine after COVID.
Jesus Christ. Michael Carter is
the eventual 1A. So this is a...
Oh, no, he's been running with the ones, too, since this opened.
Well, yeah, and the Jets, like, one of the things I want to talk about a little bit here is some training camp battles, and the Jets running back situation is one of them. That is wide open. LaMichael Pirine's the next best thing they have there. So, Michael Carter's a guy to watch.
And Tevin Coleman and T.J. Johnson.
Right, so...
T.Y. Johnson.
Ty.
Ty Johnson. Ty with yeah.
But, no, Michael Carter is a guy to watch. He is highly talented. He's a guy that a lot of people liked up there with Javonte Williams as far as the pre-draft process and everything went. So, yeah, Michael Carter has the opportunity there, and I think he's an uber-talented player that, you know, I am absolutely willing to take a dart throw at.
Yeah, and if I had any of his shares, I'd wait till he blows up, but then
I need to get to get one somewhere, so...
I'm sure you'll have a shot.
Jesse James, 1-year contract to the Bears. Daz Newsome's on the pup. Tariq Cohen on the pup. We're only back 4 days. I think we're relatively caught up. Joe Burrow cleared to start. A.J. Brown cleared to start.
Yeah, now we're in. Now we're in pre-training camp.
O.J. Howard with an Achilles injury not cleared.
Justin Watson expected to miss about 4 months. What could have been? D.D. Westbrook signs with the Vikings. Wide receiver 3, more than likely.
Yeah, but they don't have much behind Jefferson and Thielen, so.
Westbrook torn ACL in week 7.
Mm-hmm.
Expects to push B.C. Johnson, which is, I think, 3 at the moment.
Which he should be.
Which he definitely should win that out if he's healthy.
And D.D. Westbrook, 1-year deal. We just talked about that.
We just we've reached that point.
Yeah, basically a lot of pup guys. A lot of pup. We'll keep an eye on some of these battles as they go. You're going to see coach speak. You're going to see hype. You're going to see Twitter hype, especially as things start to happen. So make sure you tune in because we'll talk about it and we'll break it down and, you know, whether you should buy it, sell it, believe it, not believe it. We've kind of leaned out of that. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun this year to lean into that a little bit. So,
well, if we're going to keep reading these, it is fun to, when we get to those highlights, we can laugh about it and we can also, you know.
Or I mean, if there's something there and there's actual thoughts to have, then we can give that too. So,
exactly.
I think that's all we got for you. So,
that's it.
Thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back next week, the night before your bachelor party.
That's going to be fun.
It'll be a fun episode. So, yeah, we'll catch y'all like next time.
Yeah. Like, bye.
Worst transition ever.